Amen. Let's go to the Word of God this morning. Last Sunday, I was sitting in the service. Pastor was preaching about the storms, if you remember. And as he was teaching and preaching to us, the Lord just dropped into my heart something for this Sunday, for today. And actually, it follows on from that storm. So you remember last week, Pastor was telling us that Jesus went over in the boat with the disciples to the other side of the lake, and this storm arose on the lake. Now, I want to pick up what happened when Jesus got back from the other side. They came back by boat. And in Mark's Gospel chapter 5, we read about a man who met Jesus on his return to the Galilee side of the lake. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I preached about Philip, if you remember. We just looked at some occasions in his life. Now, what I want to do is I want to take this man, whose name is mentioned only twice in the Gospels. Actually, in fact, only twice in the whole Bible, his name is mentioned. He's referred to three times by the Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And his name, as we have, you see, in verse 22 in Mark 5, is Jairus. To behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. All three gospel writers identify Jairus as ruler of the synagogue. Now we'll do a little bit of teaching this morning about a little bit about this man, a little bit about his faith, a little bit about the frustrations that he felt in his life. And I think you will see and identify with him like you did with Philip a few weeks ago. Now, this man Jairus was ruler of the synagogue. He was the chief official in the synagogue. Now, you know what the synagogue is? The synagogue was, at the time, it was like a church building. It was a place where 10 men at least met to worship and to pray. These were the localized churches. They were separate and different from the temple, which was at Jerusalem, and everybody went to the temple to worship. But there were localized meetings, like we would have here, in what was known as the synagogue. And Jairus was one of the chief officials. He was the ruler of the synagogue. Now, part of his duties as ruler would include overseeing the gatherings, the meetings. He would be responsible for the leading of the worship, for the for selecting those who would read from the law. He would organize the readings and the prayers. He would be over all of the ministry in the synagogue. He was also a man. I'm not just talking about Jairus, but all of the rulers of the synagogue. They were men that were held in high respect in their communities. They governed local tribunals, which looked after the laws of the local laws, and they had a lot of power in their communities. And we see in the scriptures a few instances where people were afraid of the rulers of the synagogue because they could be excommunicated, they could be put out of the synagogue if they did anything wrong. They even had the power to pronounce corporal punishment upon those that broke the law. So they had quite a lot of respect and quite a lot of authority in the community. And here we have one of those men. His name is Jairus. He's a ruler of the synagogue. And he comes to Jesus. And when he sees Jesus, it says he fell at his feet. Matthew, in his gospel, tells us that when this man Jairus, he fell at his feet in order that he might worship him. This wasn't just dropping to his knees, because it says here in Mark's gospel in verse 23, it says that he begged him earnestly. This wasn't just getting on his knees and saying, please, Lord, come. This man, Jairus, he fell to his feet. It was an act of worship. he bowed himself before the Lord. This ruler of the synagogue, this religious leader in the community, he acknowledges before all those that were around him. And don't forget, he is a religious man of high respect in the community, one of the Jewish leading men in their community. And he fell at Jesus' feet and he acknowledges before everybody that Jesus is God. Have you noticed what it says here? Have you noticed Jesus didn't rebuff them? Jesus didn't say, no, Jairus, you mustn't do that. I'm just a man. No, he didn't say that. Peter said it when men bowed before. He said, no, he said, don't do that. I'm just a man like you are. Even the angels rebuked, I think it was John, and said, don't bow before me. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus received the worship. He didn't rebuke him. He actually acknowledged that this man, this religious leader, would bow before him, would worship him, would give him the praise and honor that he is worthy of. You know, that just shows us this morning a little bit about the divinity or the deity of Jesus Christ. Only God can be worshipped. And Jesus received the worship, thus signifying that he was God, and he is God. And as part of his worship, Jairus begged him, it says in verse 23, earnestly, saying, come, since my little daughter lies at the point of death, come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. What do we see here about this man Jairus, this ruler of the synagogue, this man of authority in the community, this man who openly declared that Jesus was God in his worship of him? Now he appeals to Jesus about his daughter. And he brings this request to the Lord, and he says, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Now there's something interesting about this little girl. We don't get it in Mark's gospel, but Luke tells us it was his only daughter. Luke also tells us that she was 12 years of age and that she was dying. She had a condition. We don't know what the condition was, but it was affected. It was terminal for her. And Jairus appeals to Jesus. Listen to these words. He says, come and lay your hands on her. He has no doubt heard about the miracles that Jesus did, how he laid his hands on the sick, how he ministered to those that were sick, those that were suffering, those that were in need. And he recognizes in Jesus this power, if I can use that word, this power that came from God, the power to heal. And he appeals, he says, Lord, he says, come and lay your hands on my daughter. But look at his next words. He wasn't coming with I hope you can do something for me, Lord, because I don't know where else to go. He says, if you come and lay your hands on her so that she may be healed, then she will live. He's coming with faith. Now, other religious leaders of the day and around may not have regarded Jesus as their best friend. He upset all the religious leaders. He spoke plainly to them. He called them hypocrites. He called them whitewashed tombs. But here we have a man who not only acknowledges Jesus as God, but also he realizes that in Jesus, God's using him to heal the sick. And so he comes with a confession of faith to Jesus. And he says, Lord, he says, if you come down and lay your hands on her, I know she's going to be healed and she will live. Now, Jesus doesn't say, just hold on a minute, Jairus. Don't get too excited. Which is what you hear a lot of times when you start talking like that. We say, well, I know God's going to meet the need because I've prayed and I believe. Oh, don't get excited, brother. Don't get excited, sister. You know, you never know. It might be the will of God that you're going through this. That's what you hear. It's a lie. He said, come down. He said, lay your hands on her so that she may be healed. He recognized there was healing in Jesus. And she will live. No, he wasn't just going to minister for a temporary season here. It was going to turn her life around. She would live. And it didn't say Jesus didn't do anything else other than what it says in verse 24. It says he went with him. Have you noticed in the scriptures that often when people came to Jesus, either he ministered to them straight away and sent them away, or the centurion that came to Jesus on behalf of his servant, he says, all you've got to do, Lord, is just speak the word and my servant will be healed. Another man of great faith. And Jesus says, go and let it be according to your faith. Just go. He's healed. And the man went to him. Here, Jesus actually goes with Jairus. Now, he could have just said, go home, your daughter will live. Which is what he did on other occasions. Why would Jesus accompany this man to his home? What was it that caused him to go along with him? Well, I believe it was because of the next verses that follow. Because as they went, the Bible tells us, it says he went with him, a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Verse 24. This great multitude followed him, were thronging him. They were all around him. It wasn't just a few people. It wasn't just a few disciples. This was a crowd that had gathered. Maybe they'd come out with Jairus from the synagogue. But there was a great throng, a great multitude. And they were with him as he journeyed on the road. Now what happens in verse 25, and actually happens for the next 10 verses, largely for my message this morning, I'm going to skip these verses, but I will just tell you what happened. While they were on the journey, a woman met them on the road. Now this woman was a woman that had a hemorrhage. She was suffering this hemorrhage of blood. She'd been suffering for 12 years. Interesting that her condition started the time Jairus' daughter was born. And the Bible tells us a little bit about this woman, that she had sought help from every physician in the town. She had spent all that she had. She'd spent all her money. She wasn't getting any better. In fact, the Bible tells us she was getting worse day by day. And she came with the same type of faith confession. If I could just get to Jesus, I could just touch even the bottom of his garment, said, I'm going to be healed. That was her decision. That was her faith. So she did everything she could. She put out her hand. She pressed through the crowd. She touched the garment. And immediately, instantly, the Bible tells us that she was healed of that affliction. And you know what happened there? Jesus said, well, who touched me? And all this commotion happened. And the disciples said, don't be stupid, Lord. You know, everybody's touching you. They're bumping into you because of the crowd that's around. But Jesus said, no, someone's touched me in faith. Someone's drawn on the supply in faith. Someone's touched me with faith. And they spend a little bit of time as this woman comes and begins to tell her story. And she opens up to Jesus how she has spent all these years. And she goes through from the test. I don't believe this was just a quick test. This was a long recount as she poured out her story to the Lord. And in the hearing of everybody else that was around. Now, just to skip what happens in that, down to verse 35. While Jesus was still speaking to this woman and to those that were around, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, what? It says, your daughter is dead. Don't, why trouble the teacher any further? Here is a man who has come to Jesus with an urgent need. His daughter is at the point of death. He's come, he's fallen down at his feet, he's worshipped him, he's brought his request, his appeal to him, and says, Lord, if you just come down with me, lay your hands on my daughter, she's going to be healed and she will live. And they begin the journey, and Jairus must be really pumped up and excited that Jesus is coming to his house. But on the way, there's a delay. A woman stops them in their tracks. A woman with a great need, who's beginning to pour out her heart and her story to the Lord Jesus. And I don't know whether Jairus was a little bit like some of us. Now, he wouldn't have had a wristwatch on, but he'd be, come on, we've got to go, my daughter's dying. Come on. Why, woman, do you have to come now? Come on, Jesus is on the way to my house. This is urgent. But while Jesus is speaking, the news comes to Jairus. The words come that he didn't want to hear. Your daughter is dead. Don't trouble Jesus anymore. It's too late. She's gone. How would you feel if you were Jairus at that moment? How many people tell you when you're going through the midst of a great problem, oh, don't bother with the Lord. He's not interested in your little case. He's not interested in what you're going through. How many times do you hear that? It's too late. Don't trouble the Master any longer. It was all right while there was some hope. But now it's too late. Let me tell you this morning, it's never too late for Jesus. Amen. Do you remember Lazarus? Yes. How many days had he been dead?
Four.
Jairus' daughter had only just died. I know there's no difference whether somebody's been dead 4 days, 1 day, even 1 week. Can we believe God for that? It's never too late for you. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter how far you think you've sunk. It doesn't matter how far you think it's beyond hope. There's always hope in Jesus. It's never too late for the Lord Jesus. But what we see here in Jairus, even though it seems like his world has just fallen apart, his only daughter of 12 years old has just died, he's just heard the message from home, and they say, well, don't bother with Jesus anymore. We see something in this man. He is a man of compassion. Why do I say that? Because just think about this woman that came. She interrupted the journey. Maybe delayed them for maybe up to an hour. Had that woman not stopped Jesus, it's possible that Jesus would arrive before the little girl had died. It may have been like Lazarus. It may have got there and found she was already dead. But this woman who delayed them, and we don't see in the scriptures, there's no record in the scriptures that Jairus blamed this woman. He could have done. We may do sometimes. Oh, if that hadn't happened then, like Mary and Martha did. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Why did you stay? Why did you linger? He could have said, if only that woman hadn't stopped us, then my daughter wouldn't have died. Remember who Jairus was? He was ruler of the synagogue. He was a man in authority in the local community. He was a man who had the power over the tribunals, over the local laws. And here we have a woman who is unclean, she's suffering a hemorrhage of blood. By according to the law, she should not have mixed with the people. She should have been separated. She should have stayed at home. A woman here who dared break the law to come into a public place, to even reach out and touch a man. He could have said right there and then, okay, let's put her to death. Let's punish her. Let's throw her out. Let's make an example of this woman, like they did with the woman that was found committing adultery. They brought her to Jesus, and threw her down and said, Moses said to stone her, what do you say? Jairus could have done that. But we see a man of compassion, a man who refused to give in to that temptation to punish. And Jesus recognized something in this man. I'm guessing he knew the sort of things that were going on in Jairus' mind, because he just heard, here's a man who came with great faith, come and lay your hands on her, she will be healed and she will live. And now he gets the message that he didn't want to hear, that don't trouble the master anymore because she has died. It's too late. This verse 36 says this, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Don't fear. How many times did Jesus say, don't fear? Somebody has done some calculations and said that the words do not fear or don't be afraid appear 365 times in the scriptures. I've never studied it through, I've never actually checked it, but that's what they tell us. And if that's true, that's one for every day of the year. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. The last thing we need to do when we are standing in faith is allow fear to get a hold of us. Because fear will destroy our faith. He says, keep on believing, Jairus. He says, don't be afraid. Only believe. He says, hang in there. Hang in with your confession of faith that she will live. I believe what he was telling him here. He said, don't listen to what they say. Don't listen to that report. Don't listen to those negative words. Just hang in there. Stay true to your faith. Maybe, I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. But don't fear. Keep on believing. Not only that, when Jesus said those words, don't fear, only believe to him. I believe it would also be conscious of the woman that came. The woman that delayed Jesus on the road. She came with a need. She came, and Jairus would have heard her story. As she said, I've suffered many years with this. I've spent everything I had. I've been to every doctor and they've given me no hope. Actually, I'm getting worse and worse. But I said, if I can just come and touch the hem of your garment, I will be healed. She touched the hem of his garment. Instantly, she was healed. And Jesus is telling Jairus here, when just believe. He said, just remember the woman. She came in faith. You came in faith. She reached out and touched and she was healed. You reached out and touched and your daughter will live. Actually, Luke's Gospel tells us this. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 50, this is Luke's account of these same words. Says, Jesus says, do not fear, only believe, and she will be made well. She will be made well. You know, what great words, only believe. Only believe. There was an old Salvation Army man, an American man, American Salvationist. His name was Paul Rader. And in 1921, so almost 100 years ago, 97 years ago, he penned a hymn, a song, which became very popular in the meetings of Smith Wigglesworth in the UK and around the world. and a man, another man, you may not know him, is quite a popular American preacher by the name of William Branham. So in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, even as late as 1960, this hymn was being sung in these men's meetings, Smith Wigglesworth and William Branham. And it went like this. It was quite a simple little one. It said, only believe, all things are possible. Only believe. Quite a simple little hymn, little song. But it was so popular, so powerful. People were being ministered to as they released that in faith. They sang that song. It's quite a simple tonight, Ruth. Yeah. It goes something like this. Only believe, only believe, all things are possible. Only believe, only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe. Beautiful little song. Just remember that song and just sing it over and over to yourself. Just encourage yourself in to trust God. Just believe, only believe. All things are possible. And that's what Jesus told Jairus. Just keep on believing. All things are possible if you can believe. I said that in another scripture to somebody else. But verse 37, I want you to just gonna jump down a little bit. I want you to see something here also about Jairus and Jesus. Verse 37 tells us that Jesus permitted no one to follow him from then on. The crowd left where the woman met Jesus. Neither the disciples stayed behind where this woman met Jesus. It says he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John. The brother of James. So there is Jesus, Jairus, Peter, James, John. Five people that were, that continued from that whole group. It says, and they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. And when they arrived at his house, they saw another group of people. Another multitude of people. It says there was a tumult there, and those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in to the house, Jesus said to them, why are you making this commotion? Why are you weeping? Well, we know why. But then Jesus makes a statement, and again, I don't believe he's just saying this to the people there, because they ridiculed him, they mocked him. He says, the child is not dead, but sleeping. Again, words to strike home in the heart of Jairus. Why would he say those words when in the natural it was quite evident that this girl was dead? Why would Jesus say that? Because Jairus is just about to go into her room where she's lying. He's going to look upon a lifeless corpse lying on a bed. And Jesus is encouraging him to believe, to stay strong. He says, the child is not dead, she's just asleep. But everybody else laughed at him, so he put them all out of the house. He said, get out of the house. And he took the mother, the father, Peter, James, and John into the room. And he went in where she was lying. You know, what we see here, there's no room for unbelief. And Jesus gets rid of it all out of the house. He left the multitude behind so they didn't interfere with Jairus. He even left nine of the disciples behind, maybe to minister to the crowds and the woman. He takes Peter, James, and John to the home. Then he gets rid of everybody that's gathered around the home. That crying and weeping. He doesn't want any of these tears of his unbelief. Doesn't want any of this sorrow and any of this grief. He puts all these mourners and these wailers outside. And then he says to Jairus that this child is not dead. She's asleep. takes them into the room. Verse 42 says this: immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that they should not know it, that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. You know, we've traced Jairus, his life, his faith, a man, a religious man, a man of high respect in the community, acknowledging that Jesus is God, Jesus is Lord, acknowledging that Jesus has power to heal, a man who comes with great faith in Jesus. He says, come, he says, if you come down, my daughter will be healed, my daughter will live. We see a man who, despite difficulties and problems on the way, despite delays, a man who is a man of compassion, a man who's not going to hold it against this woman. We see a man who suddenly has his world torn apart, but encouraged to stay strong and keep believing. A man who witnesses Jesus get rid of every trace of unbelief. Just put it out, so that only those going into the room are standing strong in God. The mother, the father, the three disciples, and Jesus himself. A man who is encouraged to keep trusting God, even when he's looking face to face at a lifeless corpse. And then we see a man who's instructed by Jesus not to tell anybody what had happened. Don't you think that's strange? You know, you read in the scriptures how many times Jesus ministered to someone. He said, just go home and tell them what great things God has done for you. Go home and tell your family. Go home and tell your friends. Go and tell. But here he said, don't tell anybody what has happened. Well, not straight away, anyway. They were amazed. They were overcome with great amazement, it says. And he commanded them strictly that no one should know it. Why do you think that was? Now, if you read scholars and commentators, they will say things like, and it's possibly it's true, that Jesus didn't want the crowds that he'd left behind coming down to Jairus' house and suddenly making him king and promoting him. Possibly. Maybe he didn't want to be mocked. Could be. I don't know. But he was charged with not telling people what had happened. Yeah, maybe that's true. Maybe it wasn't time for Jesus. Maybe it wasn't the right time, and Jesus knew it. And perhaps he understood and knew that if they suddenly realized what had happened, that the ruler of the synagogue, his daughter had been raised to life, you know, that he would be promoted in the town. He would become, they'd make him some type of super celebrity. And Jesus wasn't looking for that. He came to serve, not be served. He came to give his life a ransom for many, not to have people give their lives for him. Jesus came with a mission, as we were looking at this morning, to bring people from death to life. From dead in trespasses and sins, being made alive to God. To bring those that were afar off near by his blood. He wasn't looking for the other way around. So maybe that's right. But what we see here in the life of Jairus, something perhaps we can all resonate with. A man who, despite going through various trials, various difficulties, even heartbreaking news, was encouraged by Jesus to stay strong in faith, to stand strong, to only believe. And I want to leave that with you this morning. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Amen. Let's give it to God.